Justin Madden. We've got the great Justin Madden, 332-game legend on the line to have a chat to us, and our former Minister for Sport and Recreation, I think he was. Welcome to you, Justin. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. It's great to be with you from, you know, probably not that far away, but far enough away to, you know, not be at risk to anybody.
You are, of all the people that we've interviewed on Fox Footy Live over the course of the last couple of weeks, you have won the diploma background competition. You've got more than anybody we've interviewed so far.
It's good. It's good. I'm glad you're suitably impressed, because I know that, you know, it's very important to have a good background these days, in more ways than one. So I thought you'd like my background tonight. I've obviously left the right impression.
Well, you've, in regards to your background, you've actually got them all behind you, so you've placed yourself perfectly tonight to get that little pat on the back early. What are you up to? Take us into the world of Justin Madden right now. What are you doing for a crust?
I work basically as an architect. I'm a consultant architect for a company called ARUP. A-R-U-P. They're an engineering design consultancy. I've been there 5 years since I left the Parliament of Victoria. And it's nice, a nice pace. I can stay out of the limelight, hopefully, and stay out of trouble. That's the general idea.
G'day, Harry Derm here. How are you, mate?
I'm great, Derm. What about yourself?
Oh, not too bad, yeah. Hey, going okay. Hey, tell us, for all those people who love their politics, what perks do you still get from the government now that you're in private enterprise?
Good question. Yeah, no, that's right. I get a free Mikey card, which serves me very well.
Magnificent. And that's all, truly?
Oh, there are a few other things, but the Mikey card's probably the best one.
Like an armed guard to work or anything like that?
No, I don't need any of those things, that's for sure.
Can you tell me, there's one thing I've always wanted to ask you. I love being in Harry's company. He's quite jovial, he's whimsical and the likes. Why on God's earth did you ever wear a helmet? You were above any trouble that was coming your way.
Well, the week before, Peter Bozzasto had, we played in the same team together, and I was sort of loitering around centre forward, and he was playing full forward, and I had the chance to take a mark on my own, but he decided he would use me as a proverbial stepladder and took the mark of the round on me without any competition. So he basically knocked me out in the process. I remember sort of, I was the only one in the entire stadium that didn't see his mark. And I was, as I sort of picked myself up and brushed myself off, he said, "It's all right, I'll share the car with you on weekend."
How long did you wear it for, the helmet?
I wore it for the following game as a bit of a statement, but then I think it made far too much of an impression on David Barkin, because at the Monday meeting in his notes, and he reinforced it when he spoke to us in the debrief, he said, "I never want to see that helmet again, Harry." And hence, I never wore it again.
It put us off, though, Harry. I must say, rather than concentrating on the ball, like I'm standing at my side of the square and we're looking in and we're ready to yell out, "Come on, Deary, come on, Bucky, come on." And you look up and go, "Oh, you're kidding, Harry. What do you got that on for?"
That's it. Exactly. I think Lou Richards, the late Lou Richards, great line was, "The only thing he's got to worry about is low-flying jumbo jets."
You missing the footy like the rest of us? Do you still watch a lot of football and support your team?
I am. I do like the Friday night games, and Carlton has played in many of those over the years. And the thing about the Carlton games is if they're not playing that well, if you're watching it from home, you can go to bed. And I've got a lot of sleep in the last few years, unfortunately. So I am missing it. I was expecting that they might be able to, you know, put in a good season, but we'll have to wait and see.
Harry, if Essendon and Carlton both simultaneously put out the SOS to you to help them in some way, shape or form, who have you got more heart for?
I've played most of my football with Carlton. I played a little bit with Essendon. I still live in Essendon. I've got a soft spot for the Bombers. But I don't think either will have to put out an SOS for me at this point in time. It's not likely they're going to get, you know, a ruckman of my coordination. Put it that way, I'll need a bit of work.
Are you amazed by the modern ruckman? And there's been some entertaining footage that often gets shown of you, Harry, over the years that me being a touch younger than you, I look back and I enjoy that vision, Derm, one in particular.
That might be the one. Sean Rennie burnt off.
Are you amazed at what the modern ruckman is doing and how the game, I guess, has even changed in regards to the ruck division over the last 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, look, the ruckman those days are expected to do a lot more than we were ever expected to do. They're midfielders, and they've got to take the ruck as well. But in our day, we just had to ruck. And, you know, I didn't have any surgery over the course of my career. And that's the only way I can explain that is I never went for a hard ball in my life. And that was basically, you know, I could let the smaller blokes do all the hard work at ground level. But these days, the ruckmen are expected to do a lot more hard work at ground level after they hit the ball. And, of course, they get injured probably more often than they might have once, you know, got injured.
Harry, so I totally agree with you there. They do tend to crawl on hands and knees and shovel in after the footy and the likes. They rarely take as many marks as you blokes did in your era. We're having a look at this. One bounce, two bounce, Sean Wren closing. You've balked yourself. You've gone further onto the left.
I bounced it
off the chalk.
I did, yes. And, you know, that was the turning point of the game. You know that, don't you?
Of course.
It was the turning point because we were a couple of goals behind, but you could sense the Adelaide players. They could almost hear them saying it, but you could sense them sort of thinking to themselves, if this bloke can do this, there's something horribly wrong with our game plan. And there was.
Oh, magnificent.
Harry, some great characters you played with as well. You were one of them. You were a delight to interview and a delight to watch play. And it's one of those things that we kind of lost a bit. Did you love playing in that era because of the characters that you were playing with?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we didn't have the social media then. We had to fill our days with either work or study or something else. So the guys from within your club brought other things to the game, you know, and they're allowed to have characters then, and they're allowed to be characters in many ways on and off the field. So it was a great time, I think. I sort of feel a bit of sadness for the players that have to play today because they're like hothouse flowers. You take them out of that environment and they tend to wilt a bit. And I think that playing football today as a professional, all those hours you'd have to put in the club, you know, 6 or 8 hour a day at the club would drive you nuts, whereas we had other alternatives. And I'm sure that kept Dermot sane, or as sane as he's ever been, and the likes of myself. You know?
Harry, you did. You had a team that was showbiz football for a lot of the time, but they could seriously get it done. That 79-80 team of Carlton, early days before you arrived on the scene, that was Fitzy's reign. They were a great team, but there were still players from that left over that you ended up playing with. But there were so many characters. There was one character who didn't have to do anything, and I had the honour of playing against him, I reckon, twice. And maybe you might have a story to tell us about that one of the halfback flankers of the century, Bruce Doole.
Yeah, well, Bruce was one of those players. He was quiet as a church mouse, I suppose, but one of the best players to play alongside. You knew that you could rely on him every time. I remember Wolsey at one stage, we'd got flogged and Wolsey got us all in a circle. And we had to go around the circle and all say what we, you know, how we'd confess up as to what we didn't do or should have done in the game. And we got to Rob Walls. Rob Walls got to Bruce Doole and said, "It's all right, Bruce, we'll just skip you," and kept going around because nobody expected him to talk. And Wolsey, played with him for years, didn't expect him to say anything, so he didn't need to.
Justin, Derm and Dwayne have both been sharing their favourite suburban grounds that they played at. Now, you're in the same sort of era. What was your favourite ground to play at, suburban-wise, and what was your most dreaded and why?
I love the small grounds, and that was one of the great advantages. if you're a slow-moving ruckman.
You're always near the pill.
That's right. They couldn't kick it around you, so they had to kick it to you. So I loved Arden Street. I didn't get to play many games at Arden Street. Princes Park was pretty good. Windy Hill was good to me as well. So those smaller grounds were great. But I couldn't stand Moorabbin. Moorabbin was a big ground in those days and probably still is.
Windy.
Always windy, always cold, miserable. Those days you get a lot of rain and you get the cold wind off the bay down there in Moorabbin. It was just awful. I remember one particular day, I reckon they had the sprinklers on the night before and it still rained. It was slow to dead track. And we ran out in the ground and they said, "Come on, get a bit of mud on you before the game starts." So I reached down into the cricket pitch, which was pretty, you know, looked pretty toxic, and I rubbed it on my arms, and the blokes looked across at me, and we sniffed and realised, because those were the days where you have the police horses come out. I realised that I'd rubbed the police horse turd all over me.
I don't know where to go from there. Oh, what a fantastic segue. Hey, before I do let you go, speaking of great legendary stories like that, is it myth or is it truth that you once went to a training on a Monday having missed the game on the weekend through injury and you arrived at training on the Monday not realising that you didn't know whether they'd won or lost? So you had to feel the mood of the room.
I don't know if I could really admit to that, Wayne.
Is it true?
It could be true, but I wouldn't want to dispel the myth, all right? So, I tended not to watch much football until after retiring from football. So maybe I was I might have been nominated for the reserves and I didn't know how the reserves had gone. So that was I probably just sat back and got the vibe on the night. So, yeah.
Love having you on the program, Harry. Thanks a lot for your time and congratulations on an outstanding career. And you did some great things for this state as well. What is behind you, certificate and diploma-wise? Just talk us through your diplomas before you go, if you can.
In actual fact, they're mostly my wife's diplomas. That's all right.
One says the most uncoordinated person in the world.
That's it. One says never received an injury playing league football. So that's it.
Great to have you, Harry.
Cheers, Harry.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good on you.
See you, mate.
Great. Justin Harry Madden, who was one of the great characters.